Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 17. This is just a few minute introduction to what will come later. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, it was quite a profound statement, isn't it? That he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. That's also very profound. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal, to know God and Christ, to know the Father and the Son. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. He is saying it. He's not yet on the cross, but he is saying, I have finished the work thus far in what you've given me to do. And of course, he has full confidence that he will finish it. And on the cross, when he died, he said, just before he died, it is finished, John 19:30. Is that over there? Used to be. It's gone. All right, so now verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self. Glorify me with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And that will be our subject tonight. What was the relationship with the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, before the world was? What agreement did they have with each other? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What arrangement was there before the world was? And why is that important to us? What covenant was there between them? Did they make an agreement? What was that agreement, and what does it mean to us? Very important that we would recognize who God is, and we would know God, not our God, as we said this morning, and we'll explain that briefly tonight too, but God, the living God, the only true and wise God, Jesus Christ, who is God, was with God, was in agreement with God, came to do God's will in time, was glorified and returned to heaven to be with the Father and be glorified by the Father after he finished his work. And what does that mean to us? Great subject. So that's coming later. Before we get there, I asked Jesse Fires, one of our homiletic students, the greatest son of Pastor Ken Fires, no, the least, okay, and Pastor Ken and Cynthia Fires in Miami, and Jesse came here a year and a half ago, and has been a great blessing to the body and Bible College, and I just enjoy his life a lot. So give him a big hand. Also, if he gives any pause in his message, Remember Billy Graham, the first time he preached, he had his whole message prepared. He went right through it in 7 minutes. And he was done, and it was too fast. Well, I think Jesse's going to give a pause here and there, and when the pause comes, do amen, Charlie, okay? Do be an amen, Charlie. Say amen. Preach it, brother. Preach it, brother. So welcome, Jesse.
Bow your heads. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunities in life. Thank you for the people surrounding us in the body. And bless these words in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it was funny. The first time I ever was up on the stage was only a month ago or so with the Bible College night. And I had it was just some power that was from the pulpit and some respect for the pulpit, knowing who has stepped foot on here, like Pastor Stevens and Schaller and Shibeli and all these great different pastors from all over the world who have preached powerful messages, who have all stirred our hearts and touched our hearts in a significant way. And so, you know, I was thinking, where did this power come from? In Psalms 8 and verse 2, it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. I was with Nathan and Alyssa the other day. We're at Subway, and we go to Subway. We're preaching the gospel to this girl who's working behind, and she's like, wow, where did you get this energy from? What? And we're preaching her the gospel message, and this is the world. They confuse it with wow, you guys got good energy. You know where that came from? That's from the Spirit. That is the ordained strength that we have, that God has given each and every one of us to share that love. Yeah, she's like, yeah, well, you guys got good. You guys look like actors, I believe they said overall. So that's what they think. So no, you don't know. It's the Spirit that is in me. And you could have that too, that ordained strength. Let's read it again. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. He's established strength in each and every one of us. Because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there we go. Seeing if you're awake. Amen. So out of our mouths, through our prayers, through our meditations, through our singing, through our preaching, our teaching, we have this ordained strength that God has given us. And it is such a blessing to have that, to know that, you know, we don't have to rely on our own power, but we have a Heavenly Father who gives us that strength. And a few of us, like I said, in homiletics, we were so encouraged and stirred up that we've had a group called the Preacher Boys, and we're going out preaching in the streets. And we've been carrying our Bibles, and everyone's looking at us like, what book is that? What does he have? It's a Bible. They're blown away that we have Bibles in our hands, preaching the streets as young adults. And that is the ordained strength that each and every one of us can have. And it's a beautiful thing. So, Lord, bless these thoughts. Thank you for these words. Hopefully they touch us, and we can meditate it and use this ordained strength that is from you and above. Bless the rest of this message and this night, this evening, and this song. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, we bring all these prayers boldly. We enter the Holy of Holies through the blood of your Son. We are so honored to be called holy, holy, a holy priesthood with the Holy Spirit, and to actually feel your holiness in our hearts and enjoy it, rejoice in it. It satisfies us deeply to be holy. That's what the world is lacking. They are defiled. We also, at different times, need to be washed, of course. We know what defilement is. Fear, anxiety, worry, guilt, shame. We know what it is to be a human being without you. But then filling us with your Holy Spirit, drinking of the Spirit, we are satisfied. That's why we come and gather. We are thirsty. Lord, give us a good drink of your heavenly living water through your Son, which you purposed to do before the foundation of the world. In your name. Bless Bob Moore. He has a triple bypass the Thursday. Pray for him. He's in quarantine before the operation. We pray for the doctor, the recovery, everything about it. Bless him and Debbie. Take care of Debbie. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you may be seated. You already are. You sat down while I was praying? Okay, turn to a couple places. Psalm 44 is a good context for our message. Isaiah 44, did I say Psalm? All right, I mean Isaiah. Isaiah 44. I thank you. I can still correct myself. Isn't that a blessing? Whoa! Man, thank you, Lord. I can still do. I hope keep. When I can't do that anymore, please tell me. Okay, Isaiah 44. This is a short review of the morning. Verse 16. He burns part in the fire, which he thereof he eats flesh. He roast, and is satisfied. Yea, he warms himself and says, aha, ah. How did he say it? You guys do it. Or, ah, oh, I think that's really, oh, roasty, toasty. Are the muffins ready? The fire is warm. The wood is burning. He cut down the tree. He cut the tree in half. He used the half of the tree for roasting and warming himself. And then he looks over at the other half. Verse 17. In the residue thereof, he makes a god. What do you make a god out of? The log that he had cut, the tree that he had cut down. That's a few verses earlier. Okay. Cuts a tree, warms himself, eats. Apparently is very comfortable and satisfied. Looks over at the rest of it, and he makes a god out of it. He falls down unto it, verse 17, and worships it. And prays unto it and says, deliver me, for thou art my God. So this is a text going to verse 20 that has a lot of interesting elements to it. Let's draw the picture. We put it in a box because that's like life. Sequences of cause and effect. We have a tree. He cuts it down. He has a log. And then he cuts that in half and he eats. He, as we said, then he worships the half of the log. Let's set it up. He makes a god out of it. And he, let's see if I can have him kneeling down before it somehow, and he is there worshiping the God that he made. You might say, I don't do that, but I'm like saying, this is done all the time. That we have a comfortable life, and in this world we take the things of the world, the leftover in some cases, the natural that comes to our mind, and we worship it. It also says in there, I believe, that he doesn't consider that it rains. He doesn't consider the rain. What we are speaking about in our faith is that we ask deeper questions. And it isn't that a tree is there and I can make a God out of it, or the tree is there and I need it to make me comfortable and useful, and it's a very good thing. And we recognize that life is like this. I have a car, I have a house, I have a family, I have a dog, I have a store, I have recreation, I have habits, I have way of life. And that's where people live. They live in the box. But we are different because God has helped us understand. In this box, there's blindness. Look at verse 18. They have not known nor understood, for he has shut their eyes. They cannot see. And their hearts, they cannot understand. What is it that they don't see? The starting point. They don't see the starting point. What's the starting point of the story? God. We could say, when we have God, we ask the question, where did the tree come from? The tree came from other trees. Where did they come from? Other trees, where did they come from? Where did the earth come from? Where did oxygen come from? Where did the rain come from? And we say, Hebrews 11:3, we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God spoke. And a fully mature man was there. If you looked at the man, you'd say he's 25 years old. His name is Adam. But he's only 3 minutes old. He was made that way. And that tree is a fully mature tree. Where did it come from? God spoke, and it happened. And the animals and the insects and the world as we know it, God made it. But these people don't start there. They start more in the box by the things they understand and that they know. But in their understanding, God says they don't understand. They understand like this, like cause, effect, cause, effect, cause, effect. And then it brings them to also making their own God. But their own God is made inside the box. Their own God is really just part of the natural world. Their own God could be a cup of coffee, a pile of money, maybe vitamins, maybe their health, maybe sex. Their own God is the things that they do that makes them feel like somehow they're appreciative of maybe the first part of the tree, and they're satisfied. So being appreciative, they feel they should say thank you or worship somebody. But who they worship is half the tree, not God. But what they worship and what they appreciate is maybe the nature, you know, the forest, the stars, the moon. But they can't go back. They don't know what's back there. They don't know who God is. So what? Look at the verse 19. And none considers in his heart. He can't meditate regarding two things, by the way. You'll find it in the world, you know it. They don't meditate in terms of the past, and they can't meditate regarding the future, because their future is simply more of this. Things will continue as they've always continued. But when we read our Bible, we know that in the past, God had a counsel. And we also know that regarding the future, he has promised that he will return. And when he returns, it's not going to be like this. It's going to be a new world. Jesus said, they said, "Are you the Christ? Answer us plainly." He said, "I am as you say. And you will see the Son of Man at the right hand of power coming in the clouds of the heavens." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he will come and with a sword out of his mouth he will put down all his enemies. And on his thigh is written a name, faithful and true. And he will come on a white horse. That's one of our favorite parts. On a white horse, wow. I haven't seen a white horse flying through the sky for a long time. I don't think it's in this sequence here. I have Carl Sagan and other scientists that are living in unbelief. They don't talk about a flying horse, but our Bible does. Really? Will that happen? Ooh, I need a childlike imagination. Well, I need just simply to believe that this world is not what it appears to be. That this world, the material world, this scene seems very solid, but it isn't. It's filled with space, huge amounts of space between these molecules. X-rays and radio waves and all kinds of waves go through this without, as if it's not even there. Because to me, in my hand, in my nervous system, in my eyes, in my ears, it seems solid. But that's me. But God tells me something else. That this world is not as it, well, we can say 2 Corinthians 4:18, that we look not at the things that are seen, because the things that are seen are temporal, but the things not seen, not seen. When Jesus came, he told us about a plan that was before the world was made. And if we were to go back here and God give us understanding about this world that we are living in, then we are living in this world with another context. We don't cut down half of the, we don't take half of the tree and make a god out of it and worship and say, "Deliver me." Guys, if I do, you know, it's not going to talk back to me. It's not going to deliver me. It's not going to save me. It's not going to take my sin away. It's not going to call me by name. It's not going to change my heart. It's not going to make me holy. It's not going to give me any promises. It's going to just be a dumb log, like many people live in this world. And it says in Psalm 115, they that worship them become like them. And that dumb log is going to make a dumb man. And the dumb man becomes dumb because he's worshiping a dumb log. How did your life change? You worship God. And in worshiping God, he gave you a fuller understanding about life. You know, the problems that we have in this world that just make like just different X's here, these are not defining our life. They are not beginning and end. My life begins destroyed. I'm a victim. this trouble, I'm a victim, this is defining my life. No, our life is defined by something outside of the box, something promised, some reality that I'm hungry to learn about, the reality of God, our Heavenly Father, who gave us His only begotten Son, so that our lives would be different in this world. Isn't that good? Amen. Okay, let's go to verse 19, is it? And none considers in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, yea, also baked bread, and I made jolly good pudding upon the coals thereof. What's it? What do the British call it? You know, what's that, Christmas pudding or something? What? Sticky. Figgy pudding. Thank you. Figgy sticky pudding. Okay. I have baked bread upon the coal. I have roasted flesh, eaten it. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stock of a tree? What does the verse mean? It doesn't occur to me that that is really absurd. It doesn't occur to me that that car that means so much to me is very useful, but it's not enough. I cannot worship a car, a woman, a child, a man, an event, an occasion. I cannot find that thing to be enough for me. And this is where our frustration comes from as people. We are very empty and very frustrated generally. We are very troubled by what we see happening in our country on many levels, and there's no need to go over the statistics and talk about it. It's so discouraging. But it's true that when we find the man of God, we find the Spirit of God, we find the Word of God, we find the body of Christ, we find the reality of God, when we find God, it's like all bets off. I am after God. It's like when we find God, what it means to us. And we have met people in different parts of the world who, at great cost, great expense, have said, I have found God and I am after God. God has showed himself to me. God has spoken to me. God has filled my heart. I want God. Nothing less. I want God. But don't you want your, what is it, figgy pudding? Yeah, I'd like to have that, but that's okay if that's not in the package. I've got God. I've got God, and Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you. But this story seems different. I get the tree, I get the roasted fire, the muffins fresh out of the cushy, what's it, Lazy Boy. I got the game going on. I got everything. I got something left over. Let's make a God out of it. What happens when you drive home and you say, comfort, you are my God? Do you remember that story? How many remember, comfort, you are my God? A handful of you. What's the matter with all of you? Okay, here it goes. I'm a working man. I'm driving home. It's 5 o'clock. I'm in rush hour. Comfort, you are my God. When I get home, dinner's going to be there. The game's on tonight. It's Monday Night Football. Comfort, you are my God. It's going to be quiet. I got my Lazy Boy. Everything is all set up. Comfort, you are my God. Thank you. I am so excited about it. Comfort, he's driving home, and he gets home. When he pulls in the driveway, his precious wife is on the porch beating one of the children. The kitchen's on fire. The remote control doesn't work. The Lazy Boy is broken. comfort. You are my God. Well, where is your God now? Where is your God now? Huh? You're angry. You go into the house, you talk to your wife for a second, she yells something, you yell back at her, you beat one of the kids, you go in, you get the fire extinguisher. Where is your God? Where is your God? Guys, your God is comfort. But comfort is elusive. It changes. You cannot go after a God of comfort. You have to go after the God who is eternal before the world was made. Before there was a box, before the earth was ever existing, I want to know Him who made everything, knows everything. He is wise, He is holy, and will make you more of a man. More of a woman, more of a person. You should say, when you're in those situations, looking towards getting home and getting comfortable, and God knows how much we do enjoy that, but you should get adjusted to another concept. God, I'm driving home. God, you are my God. You are my God in the good times. You are my God in the bad times. You're my God when the kitchen is on fire. I have stories about that because I lit the kitchen on fire a couple times. How? I was to feed the baby in the night and they had to warm up the milk with a little water in a pan on the stove. Well, I fell asleep. The water was gone, the plastic melted, the plastic caught on fire, and we woke up with flames in the kitchen. More than once. Oh yeah, more than once. My wife says, "Comfort, you are not my God." This is precious to us. I don't think I'm saying anything new to us tonight. I'm just saying, Jesus came into the world. Let's go to a couple of verses and I'll finish up. Psalm 89. And you get your eye trained on reading these. Verse 3. I have made a covenant with my chosen. This is God speaking. I have made a covenant with my chosen. Who is my chosen? The Messiah. I made a covenant with my Messiah, my chosen. I made a covenant with my Son. When did you make the covenant? Before the world was made. I had a council. The Trinity had a council. And what did they say? They said, I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. I made an agreement in the Trinity regarding David and the seed of David, the Messiah, and the throne of David. And the Messiah would sit and his throne would be forever. I decided that. Now, when you get in the box here, you see the seed of David murdered at times in the history. You see the seed of David with ungodliness, and you see many things. But God is faithful. You cannot change this plan. This is made in eternity. For our God is not just the stock of a tree. Our God is eternal, above and beyond, transcending. And this is the God that we know. So when I drive home looking forward to a football game on TV or something, or some hot muffins out of the oven, I could say, comfort, I am looking forward to having some comfort, but God, you are my God. And if the house is on fire, you will be with me in that fire. And God, you are my God. And give me thoughts that are deeper than just simply me looking forward to muffins. Give me something deeper that would move in my heart and give me a transcendental A life that is spirit. A life in the spirit. Prayers that move mountains. Words that change lives. Counsel that builds me up. And tell me about this world. Somebody could get attached to this building, right? Like, this is our church. We enjoy it. It's great. But our life is beyond the building. Somebody could get attached to their religion, and somehow their religion is some form, and they bow down and they worship. But it happened to the woman at the well. Jesus said, "You worship, but you don't know what you worship." John 4:22. How many people are worshiping, but they don't know what? How empty it is, their worship. That's why they're not interested in it. That's why they don't talk about God. In our culture, in America, that's why oftentimes people are not talking about God. And bring it into your conversation. Because people need to know that there's somebody around here that's in believing in something more than simply the world that we are dealing with and living in. Turn to another one, please. Titus 1, verse 2. Titus 1, 2. In hope of eternal life, which God cannot lie, promised before the world began. When did he promise eternal life to us? Before the world began. Who did he promise it to? His son. He promised his son that we would have eternal life. And the son was promising to the father that I will do what is needed in order to justify them by my blood. Romans 5:9. I am obedient to you, Father, in every area. I will trust you no matter. Psalm 22. That this is the agreement that was made in eternity past. Now, lastly, John 17. Please go to that text, please. John 17. This is the incredible chapter, verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which you gave me. God must reveal himself to us. Through Christ it happened. 11 actually. There were 11. And Jesus said to the Father, I have showed them your name. Here, let's put it here. Name. That's what I need. The name of God. What is his name that I can know him? What are his names? Elohim, Yahweh, Adonai. What are his names? Who is he? Emmanuel, Jesus, Son of Man. Son of God, what are his names? This is what has benefited us enormously. We cannot package it like in the frame here where everything is packaged with our iPhone and knowledge and everything is all packaged, cause and effect. But they can't go back far. They don't do it. They don't ask the question. That in a way, sense, of course, we all do, but we don't have any answer. And then projecting into the future, where will it go? What will happen in the future? And they do not know that. But Jesus is saying, I'm telling you. And I'm praying to the, and he's saying this prayer to the Father. I have showed them you. They have seen. It has changed them. They have this. This is theirs. And keep them. And I have them in the world and not take them out of the world, but I've shown them who you are as they are in the world. They are in it, but not of it. And keep them. And I send them. And he said that in John 20, as the Father sent me, so I send you. The mystery of our faith is seen in this, that people like you sitting here listening, and when the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts, we get a glimpse, we get an understanding, and we get hungry for it. And then our life here, you know, the life in the frame, you know, we live it. But what do you have that I don't have? What secret do you have? Why are you like that? Where did your family come from? How come you have this? Why? How about your friend? How did you get these friends? Where did they come from? How about your conversation? How come you talk like that? Yeah, you are different. Why you have something going on that I don't understand? Where did that come from? And we say it's God. Our conversation is in heaven in Philippians 3. It doesn't mean that we are quoting Bible verses all, you know, in everything we are doing. It's not a bad idea to do that, by the way. But it means that in our hearts we have some mind of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God. We have the purpose of God. And when it comes time to us, when it comes time to lay down and die, we are the best at it. God is God in Psalm 23. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And I think that when we go to heaven one day and we are here in heaven, you know what we're going to say? I think I've been here before. No, I haven't been here before like this. But I've smelled it on the earth. I heard it on the earth. Jesus manifested the Father to us, and we got it. When we lived in Finland, we decided to go on a trip to China. This is, well, years ago, 1979. I think I've told it before, but some of the Finns, they went to the Chinese embassy, and they went into the embassy to get visas, and there were chickens in the back. They heard them slaughtering the chickens for lunch. The Chinese were speaking Chinese. The carpets were Chinese. The paintings were Chinese. The artwork was Chinese. The furniture was Chinese. Everything about it was Chinese. It was a Chinese embassy. That's all. And that sounds right to me. We are ambassadors from a far country. We are living here. And our Heavenly Father is here. The Son of God dwells in us. Our language is different. We smell different. Our artwork is different. Our food is different. Our world is different. But we are in the world, and others are bowing down to the stock of a tree, and we can say, how's that going? How's that turning out for you? And they don't know anything different's fine. I'm good, you know, good. I'm fine, you know. And we just pray, Lord, please open their eyes. Show them the vanity of it, the emptiness of it. I'm deceived, and I don't know it. I'm worshiping a log and I don't realize it. I'm missing out on the whole thing. I am lost. I am lost. I will go to hell. I am lost. I cannot imagine. I'm lost. I don't have a clue. And yet I have my God, my devotion to it, and my comfort zone and my life and so on. But I don't know God. And when you and I are called into this world, we are to be in this world with a calling. And it's to know God, and we do. It grows in us, and it changes us. We are blessed by it. So, it's year 2021. Here we are. We're in great shape. Yeah, we're in good shape. Let's go. It might not get any better on the outside, but that's just fine. Guys, what? If we know God, know Him in your devotional, know Him in your quiet time, know Him in your reading, know Him in your fellowship, know Him in your friendships, know Him in faith, know Him in sacrificing and giving things up to God and surrender it to God. I was thinking of some pornography addictions that we know about in our country and how it happens and in the church, and people get addicted to it and they have these struggles and so on, and I'm understanding that, but I'm just saying, you know, if you just go, you repent, you confess it, you repent and you stand before God and be filled with the Spirit, and walk by faith and listen, God will change you. Do you fall back? Maybe, sure, that can happen. Do you fail? Yes, that's possible. But no, it's very possible that you grow out of that. It's over. It's gone. I have more joy in holiness. Pornography produces a lot of shame, a lot of guilt. There are different emotions that are connected with it. A boredom kind of that happens. But people do it because it comforts them. It's a comfort thing. It comforts them. Comfort. You're not my God. Comfort. You're not my God. You cannot deliver me. You cannot change me. Comfort. You are not my God. What a message for America. Comfort is my God. Toasty warm. Everything. That comfort cannot save you, help you, change you, make you holy. That comfort is not our God. Our God is a mighty God, a holy God, an awesome God. Our God changes us from glory to glory. Our God is a living God. He's a lot of fun to walk with God. Amen. Amen. Is that an amen? What do you think? Now, I don't want to stop. I want to keep going, but no. Oh, boy. I'll tell you. I have to hear three people tell me to keep going, and I'm going to go. I'm going to keep going. I just need three. No, okay. Okay, I got to do one last. I just feel, you know, amazing, isn't it? Yeah, I used to do drugs. I'm not proud of that, but I used to do it, but I ran a risk. I trusted God. I wanted it so much, too. I wanted the drug, you know. Have you ever met anybody say, I believe in Jesus, I also smoke marijuana? I believe in Jesus, I also smoke marijuana. Okay, how's that, you know, what is that? How are you going to know Jesus when you're stoned? What are your thoughts going to be when you're stoned? How are you going to be filled with the Spirit when you're stoned? You know, no room in the inn. No, not going to happen. So what do? By faith, I ran a risk. I've stopped it. I lost all my friends, my deep friends. You know, deep conversation. You know, there was all nothing. It was a stalk of a tree. It was empty. It was nothing. I lost nothing. I only gained everything. I gained Christ. I gained Christ. And then I gained real friends. I mean, I found Christ's people. I found truth. I found the answer. I found God. What about that? Isn't that good? So, give it up. Give it up. Test God. Try Him. Trust Him. He'll take care of you. I don't know how your finances are going, but I'm telling you, my finances they're working out for me, my wife, because she tithes. I just go along with the program. She tithes. She's the blessing. She tithes. I go, are you sure you want to? I mean, could we? Yeah, sure. She does it, and I get the blessing. I don't know. Tithing is part of it, the blessing of God. Try it. Test God. He's the God before time and forever, and He talks to us. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me? thank you for this holy assembly tonight and the listening ears and the hearts and opening our minds and understanding. We don't need the world, the ways of the world, the mind of the world. It's very limited. They don't know. Often they don't know what they're doing. And we are part of it. We know that. But if something happened to each one of us, we found you. We walk by faith in you and we trust you in every area or in many areas. And we can grow in other areas and find the living, almighty God who loves and cares for us. Sometimes we when we're in pain, we doubt it. Sometimes when we're afraid, we're questioning it. But we're learning to trust you. Trust in him with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. In Christ's name. You're not a believer, come to Jesus tonight and say, yes, I need you. I want you. Save me. Forgive me. I have sinned. But you came to save me from my sin. I don't know you. I don't really understand it all. But in my heart, I ask you to come into my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.